todas las esquinas casa son sonaría son. ¿Quién lo diría? Que todas las esquinas casa son sonaría. ¿Quién lo diría? Que todas las esquinas casa son sonaría. ¿Quién lo diría?
Let me tell you. You my little boo thing, so I'll give a hoot what you do say. Girl, I know you a little too tame. I'll be shooting that shot like 2K. Girl, I know. Tell 'em I'm next. Tell 'em you find a little something too fresh. I know. Tell 'em I'm next. Tell 'em you find a little something too fresh. I know. Put a little gold in the teeth and it fit good, so I took the doors out the deep. Okay, I see a brother holding your seat, no beef, but I'm trying to get to know you at least. Don't take my talking to your own. I can keep it chill like the Soviet Union blunt. I'ma keep it real when your man long gone. If you looking for a friend and you got the wrong song, baby girl, what's good? What's with you? If you book tonight, that's fiction. I'm outside, no pictures.
Please welcome to the stage Congressman Mark Buchan of Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District.
Hello, La Crosse! We are excited to have Vice President Kamala Harris with us today, showing that the Biden-Harris administration's commitment to Western Wisconsin is unmatched. Look, I'm excited about the Vice President being here for a number of reasons. No administration has done more to rebuild America's infrastructure than the Biden-Harris administration. That means better and safer roads, newer and healthier water delivery systems, greener and cleaner ways to get around, and stronger and faster broadband, something that's adding $1.6 billion to our state's economy alone. And all of those projects mean jobs with family-supporting wages right here in Wisconsin. Now, we're also working hard to lower costs for the average Wisconsinite. They're using every lever that this administration has to lower costs, including lowering prices on things like health care and energy through the Inflation Reduction Act. We celebrate Earth Day today. We can celebrate those efforts that are some of the most robust efforts to attack climate change that have ever passed in the history of this country. And today, Vice President Harris talks to us about every American's right to have the freedom to make their own decisions about their bodies. When former President Donald Trump appointed the Supreme Court justices that struck down Roe versus Wade, he also took back the clock on women by decades, except in Wisconsin, it was even worse. Donald Trump's actions set our state's abortion law back to 1849, our earliest days as a state. Can you believe that? In 2024, we have our nation's first female vice president, Kamala Harris, but our laws in Wisconsin for women's rights changed to those of over 170 years ago. Think about it. No one has done more to hurt women than Donald Trump. And here in Western Wisconsin, you are represented in Congress by someone who's been endorsed by the most extreme groups on abortion. Not only can you not get endorsed without qualification by those groups if you are pro-choice, but you can't even get endorsed by them if you support exceptions for rape or incest. Derek Van Orden's extreme position even puts in vitro fertilization at risk. This is some extreme, extreme stuff. Madam Vice President, I don't know if you know it, but Derek Van Orden is also a chauvinist that's actually written a book on how to be a man. Now, who would have known you needed an instruction manual? Look, I bought the book. I paid $1.87 on Amazon. Postage was twice the price of the book. I'm not kidding. Apparently, being a man involves knowing how to light fires and throw punches. But respecting a woman's reproductive freedoms is completely missing from that text. Fortunately, around here, we have state legislators like Brad Paff and Jeff Smith and Jill Billings and Steve Doyle, Jody Emerson, and Katrina Shanklin. They've all joined with Governor Evers to stand up for Wisconsin women and oppose attacks on their freedoms. Let's thank all those elected officials again. Look, if you respect women, here's my advice. Elect people like Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and you will have a team in the White House that respects you and your own decision-making every single day. So let me ask, are Joe Biden and Kamala Harris making your life better?
Yes.
Are Joe Biden and Kamala Harris working every day to lower costs and increase wages for you and your family?
Yes.
Are Joe Biden and Kamala Harris fighting for your freedom to make decisions about how you live and about the control of your own body?
Yes.
You bet. Thank you, Vice President Harris. Wisconsin stands with the Biden-Harris administration because Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have stood up for Wisconsin. We appreciate you having our backs. We'll have your backs in November, right?
Yes.
On Wisconsin. Thank you.
Please welcome Charlotte Urban, registered nurse and medical student.
Hello, everyone. My name is Charlotte Urban. I'm a lifelong Wisconsinite originating from central Wisconsin. I'm currently living in La Crosse, and I'm a medical student at UW-Madison. My goal is to one day be an OB-GYN serving rural communities just like the one I grew up in. Training to practice medicine in La Crosse and rural Wisconsin has shown me how essential it is that this November we elect a president and vice president who will protect our reproductive freedoms. Right after Roe v. Wade fell, the laws around abortion became incredibly unclear here in Wisconsin, both for patients and for medical providers. It was unclear whether an abortion ban from 1849, with no exceptions for rape, incest, or the health of the mother, would be the law of the land. For medical providers, for women, and for students just like me, it was a very scary time. Thankfully, we're through that now, and Planned Parenthood is back to providing essential services to Wisconsinites. But it's not much comfort when Republican politicians at the state level keep attacking reproductive health care, and when it's possible that if Donald Trump were ever reelected, he'd sign a national abortion ban. It makes me wonder, am I going to be able to work in Wisconsin when I graduate? I want to live here. I want to help solve our rural healthcare crisis. But I can't do that if the government will constantly intrude into my practice. If patients can't access the healthcare they need, how will I be able to fully care for them? And that's why I'm here today, because we need leaders who will fight for women, protect patients, and keep the government out of people's private medical decisions. And that's who we have in President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. Vice President Harris needs no introduction. She's an incredible leader who's made it her mission to restore Roe versus Wade. Just a month ago, I saw she visited an abortion clinic in St. Paul, Minnesota. And it meant a lot to see one of the most powerful leaders in the world proudly defend abortion care. She's fighting for a better future for me and for all of us. And now, it is my honor to introduce the first woman to be elected Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris.
Please have a seat. I just want to say about Charlotte, she and I got a chance to visit just for a little bit. And, you know, when we look at leaders like Charlotte, let's just all know that our future is bright. Our future is bright. I mean, she's dedicating herself to caring for other people. She wants to study rural medicine and be an OBGYN, where there is such a need for that work. And when I look at someone like her and all of you who are here, I know we're going to be okay because we know what's at stake and we're prepared to fight for all that we know is right and good. So thank you all and thank you for spending the time to be here today. Thank you. Thank you. How'd the training go? Everybody good? You pulled out your cell phones and figured out that whole app and everything? We're good? Kinda. We'll keep working on it. So let me just say, it's good here. This is what I wanted. I hate talking behind a podium. Let me just first again thank everybody who's here. You know, there is so much at stake in this election. I know you all know that. That's why you are here instead of the 5,000 other things you could be doing. And I am very optimistic about what we are capable of. I know what we are fighting for. We're not fighting against something, we're fighting for all that we believe in, to be good and right about our country. We love our country. We love our country. And we understand then what is at stake in terms of foundational, fundamental principles and ideals, including one of the most important, that of freedom. I believe freedom is fundamental to the promise of America. The promise of America is the promise of protecting and respecting individuals' rights and liberty and freedom to make certain decisions, including those of heart and home. And what is at stake right now in our country on the topic of this convening, but there are so many others, is so fundamental to the question of what kind of country do we want to live in? That's what is before us in November. And each of us has the power to answer that question. What kind of country do we want to live in? And what we know is that sadly, almost 2 years ago now, the highest court in our land, the court of Thurgood and RBG, took a constitutional right that had been recognized from the people of America, from the women of America. And thereafter, in state after state, we've been seeing laws proposed and passed that would criminalize healthcare providers. In some states, providing prison for life for doctors and nurses who simply provide health care. Laws being proposed and passed that make no exception even for rape and incest. And many of you know I started my career as a prosecutor. You may not know why. So one of the reasons is because when I was in high school, I learned that my best friend was being molested by her stepfather. And I said to her, you got to come and stay with us. I called my mother. My mother said, of course she does. And she came to stay with us. And so I decided at a young age I wanted to take on the work that was about protecting women and children from violence. The idea that some would be proposing and passing laws that say to a survivor of a crime of violence to their body, a violation to their body, that you don't have a right to make a decision about what happens to your body next, that's immoral. What we've been seeing in terms of the harm that has resulted, and those are the stories we know. And so we are here to say that we understand the nexus between where we currently are, including some in Wisconsin, which would try and enforce a law from the 1800s. I was just in Arizona. I mean, can you imagine? In the 1800s in Arizona, before Arizona was even a state, before women could vote. And there is a direct nexus between where we are on this subject and elections. And on this subject in particular, there is a clear line between where we are now and who is to blame. Because the former president was very clear with his intention. He would fill and appoint 3 members of the United States Supreme Court with the intention that they would undo the protections of Roe. And when they then got on that court, they did exactly what he intended. And remember, let's not forget that interview where he said women should be punished. Let's not overlook that he has said he is proud of what he did. Proud? That healthcare providers could go to jail? No exception? Proud that our daughter, Doug and my daughter, will have fewer rights than her grandmother? And look at the reality of this in terms of the stories every day. But here's the thing, I've been traveling our country on this subject. And one of the things I do believe is that the majority of us as Americans do have empathy. And what I'm finding is that more and more people will openly agree that one does not have to abandon their faith or deeply held beliefs to agree the government should not be telling her what to do with her body. Right? If she chooses, she will talk with her priest, her rabbi, her pastor, her imam. But it should not be the government telling her what to do. What I am finding is that when people go on election day, if they are encouraged and reminded that their vote can actually make a difference in terms of who holds that local seat, who holds that statewide seat, God love your governor, God love your senator. God love Pocan, where is he? Right there. People, when they are encouraged and reminded of the power of the individual and their vote to weigh in on this subject, they see and know what is possible. So that's what we are in the process of doing, is traveling the country I am and you here as leaders in Wisconsin, reminding people of what is at stake, reminding them that I think most of us don't intend that other people would suffer, that most of us don't intend that the government would be making such personal decisions for other people, and that this is a moment where we must stand up for foundational, fundamental values and principles. And here's the other piece that I will say. When we think about what is at stake, it is absolutely about freedom. You know, we talk about democracy. Well, let's think about it. I think of democracy as having basically, there's a duality to the nature of it. On the one hand, incredible strength. When a democracy is intact, the strength it has in terms of what it does to protect its people and protect individual rights and freedoms when intact. It is also very fragile. It is only as strong as our willingness to fight for it. And so fight we will, and fight we must. And here's the thing, when we fight, we win. When we fight, we win. So I will say, let's just make sure that we do everything we possibly can. I'm just looking for here, that's where I knew it was, 197 days. We have 197 days to go, which is kind of a long time, but really a short amount of time. And there's a lot we can get done. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here. Elections can be fun. You know, one of the things that I love about, yes, think about it. But think about it. I don't know if the person you're sitting next to right now you've met before or not. But what I love about campaigns, you get to meet people that you may have never met before who all come together because we care. And we understand what's at stake, and we understand the power of the collective, and we remember that we're not in it alone, we're all in it together. And so let's think about these next 197 days, yes, 197 days, in a way that we remind ourselves that this is what the strength of our country looks like. It's about everybody staying engaged and involved. It's about remembering that the sign of real leadership is based not on who you beat down, but on who you lift up. That real leadership, right, is about looking at someone and knowing that the character is about the kind of character that has some level of compassion and concern and care about the struggles of other people and then takes it upon themselves to do something about it. And that's what we are then, a room of leaders who care and are willing to get engaged. And so in this process, Wisconsin, I say let's reelect Tammy Baldwin to the United States Senate, Pocan to the Congress, and Joe and me to the White House. Thank you all very much.
Thank you. is going far.